Guys, y'all miss it. Y'all need to sit right here in these first two pews. Because those kids behind me are getting after it singing songs. It is great. I'd love to hear that. Good job, guys. Our speaker this morning, for most of us, doesn't need an introduction. Brother Dorian's been a friend of ours for goodness. Nathan and I've been here since 81, and I think he was pulpit minister at Nacogdoches at that time. So we've known him for a long time, and he has blessed us with his friendship and his leadership, but also his work with Partners for Africa over the last several years, and we've been involved with that. That introduction is for those of you that have just moved here. I'm excited, and I know the rest of the congregation that's heard him before is excited, and we're looking forward to what you had to say. But before you do that, come here and I'm going to have a prayer over you. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for our brother Dorian that loves you so much and willing to spread your word through Africa. And Father, we know that their mission has touched a lot of lives, and their process is simple because they take care of people's needs first, just like you did. People that were blind, you healed, and lame, you let walk, and then you was able to teach them your word because you took away the distractions of their lives, and we know that that's what Dorian and their organization does, and we thank you for that. Speak boldly through him this morning that we will see just how effective that work is, because we know that it's through working through you and with you that they're effective. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Preach your word. Thank you so much. And of course, that I agree, all glory goes to God. It has been a tremendous blessing for me to be here this morning. And what I mean by that is, everything that I have experienced here in worship and in the teaching, Tom's class was so insightful, and it was wonderful to be able to sit and to listen. You know, all the time I'm teaching and preaching, but to sit and to listen to someone that has spent time in the Word was a blessing. David, what you did with the children here was just wonderful, and I thank those that have led in singing. I also appreciate what you are doing locally here in your evangelism to hear about all those souls that have been added to the body of Christ through immersion and contacting the blood of Jesus Christ through the prison ministry and other local evangelism. Yes, it's not, souls in Africa are important, but not more important than souls here in the United States. And may the church continue to grow and be strong here is one of my weekly prayers. I pray for the church in America. And I'm thankful for all of you that are living for God here and specifically in this community and making a difference. Your global outreach is quite apparent, as what has already been mentioned, and I'm thankful for that. I just want to thank Bob for always being friendly and welcoming to me, and I appreciate that. Of course, that's true with the elders, and I consider this a privilege. Our work continues to move forward. I've told people that we are living in a sweet spot, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But every time I come, I've got to show a few pictures of the latest wild animals that I have captured, you know. I tell everybody, I said, you come with us, man, we shoot all kinds of animals. It's just with a camera. But you will have a great experience, and we want you to come. So everything you see is up close and personal and pictures that I have taken. This guy right here, or I should say this lioness, was a wonderful picture that I took, but if you're going to get a picture like that, you better be caged. You know, and so I was sitting in this Jeep, and you know how we human beings are. We ask God for something, and then sometimes when it's delivered, then we don't want it. Well, what do you mean by that, Dorian? I mean, when we headed out on this safari, I said, God, well, actually, I didn't. I mean, I always pray that we'll be safe, but I said to the others, I said, you know, we pray for God for safety, but I really would like to see some lions today, because you don't always see lions. Well, we got this, he got us this close, and you know what we're praying now? I think we could lead the lions now, you know? We're just not satisfied as human beings. But By the way, I do want you to know that that was a pride of 16 that we sat around. You don't see this sign in East Texas, do you? This is, you talk about a rough commute to work. This is what you call rough, you know. We're driving down the highway and I stopped to see this sign. And so I turned around because it was so fading. So I get out of our van to take a picture of the sign, and then I start laughing because I thought to myself, if a lion gets me now, it's going to be hilarious at his funeral, you know. This is the best steaks in the world. I don't know what kind of hunting that you guys do here in East Texas, but I want you to know, Warthog steak is the best. So if you want to prove, if you want to know if I'm telling the truth, why don't you come with us sometime, you know? This guy is not trying to attack me. It's in winter. And this was taken just about 4 weeks ago. It's in winter and he's trying to get some sunshine, some heat into his mouth because they're cold-blooded. And June and July, the days can be even in 40s, usually in the 50s and 60s, but just trying to get some heat. But it still looks quite intimidating, don't you think? You know, you have been with us right from the beginning. And it's really been a new beginning, the work that we've started. We're 10.5 years into our ministry. And you all started right from the start. You know, when we left North Street to begin this work in Africa, we have received blessings from many. Many have come in this area. Mike Miller, one of the elders at Nacogdoches, and Curtis Barbaric just were with us this summer. Susan Roscoe is back there, and she and her daughter came years ago as well. But we began something new, and we appreciate all the help, both people coming and the individual help you've given us. This last year, we have 907 immersions. We started out with about 30 or 40, and last year was the most baptisms that we have had. And up to this point, and this is August, I don't have the September stats yet, but we're already up to 749 that have been baptized into Christ. We just came back from campaign this summer, and we witnessed 122 immersed into Christ. And so we are so thankful for the receptivity of the people in Africa. And what is going on? Wanting to hear the word of God and us share it with them. At one point we had 35 people lined up to be baptized, and I got there late. I was at the building. We were helping transport people there, and I got there, and they only had the first person in the water. And I, being excited about wanting everybody to be baptized, made a very ignorant statement because I knew better. I said, why are we just starting the baptisms now? Oh, brother, we had to get tall poles to make sure there was no crocodiles. Well, that's a pretty good idea, I thought, you know, when I finally said. So in the 10.5 years, 45 rural churches have been planted. Some are still sitting around trees. Some have their own build. Some are also rural. We have planted 30 rural churches. So you can see 75 churches so far. And I want to thank you all so much for making this possible. Now, you say, well, you had 907 baptisms and you got over 700 this year already. And you got these churches. What are you doing when it comes to retention? I mean, how are you? Because I want you to know that right now, our retention rate is between 79% and 80%. And the reason is because we grab them right away and we place them not only in a church, but in a ministry. You're going to see some of the ministries we have, and people will gravitate towards that. One of the things we do, 25 leadership seminars a year. That's one every other weekend besides marriage seminars and youth seminars. I mean, we get whatever age, we'll get you plugged in right away. And that's key. Not only the teaching to take you from being a babe through your maturity, but you have got to be functioning within a body and have ministry, you know, lock into a ministry. And we are doing that, and we are so thankful. And some of our leadership seminars are large like this. This was over 1,000 people in northern Zimbabwe. This was one in rural Zimbabwe, and this is the one that really grabs my heartstrings. You know that these men, they walked, some of them, 3 hours to come to this rural leadership seminar so that they could get the best seat. That's what they sat there from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. That's their seats. When I think about those, the commitment that these ministers have, it's just amazing, you know. And so one of the men that, that leads in this is Brother Balapi Malangani. I won't go into detail. I just want you to know that he is the, for you that are older that remember, Walter Cronkite was kind of the newsman of his time in the United States. This guy was in Zimbabwe. You could watch him. I used to watch him on internet and all of that here in the States. But he was the voice of Zimbabwe. And he has been a Christian all his life and he's now resigned from that and he is in full-time ministry heading up World Bible School offices and planting churches. And because of his tremendous influence, I've walked with him down the street where people have just stopped and have asked for his autograph because they've seen him on TV all through the years, you know. And so he always finds a way to talk about Jesus Christ. But you can see our outreach, the area that we are working in, and I didn't figure this because Texas is big, but Alabama, it's about 22 times of Alabama is the area that we are working in Southern Africa. And we are working in South Africa, Zimbabwe, Swaziland, Lesotho, and Zambia. Our Bible distribution, can I just throw something out here this morning? Because there's a tremendous need that we have. It's not a large need, but it's a tremendous need. We have 227 families, new converts, families that do not have a Bible in their home. And they are in the rural area and they speak Shona and Zulu. And those are some of the Bibles that you see right there are $10 and they're a hardback. And we have collected, well, let me put it this way. All we lack is $950. And I don't know if there's somebody in the audience that might want to write a check to Partners for Africa or whatever you want to do finish. But we need to get those Bibles distributed to those. This is for a family, not they read that book. And so we need that right now. And that's from our summer. So we have 18,000 World Bible School students. Most of them are, by the way, I just want to tell you, some of you, you've collected clothes and shoes and all that sort of thing before. Well, I want you to know we send these containers over and these containers, we have textbooks. They go into schools. And because of that, we are able to enroll high school students, college students into World Bible School. And you can see how many we've got right now. And the immersion that goes on. And by the way, it's a 10-day turnaround because we have a World Bible School office there. Mail doesn't come here. We're thankful for that. And so we have a new generation emerging now. I'm doing weddings. Because of all these young people that we are connecting with. I do want you to know marriage is a little different there than it is here in the sense of its preparation. When these two came to me, They said we've gone through Lobola and for some of you, you might go, Lobola, what does that mean? What it means is when a young girl and a young guy comes together and they say they love each other and they want to get married, what happens is they have to get there. She has to get her favorite uncle. He has to get his favorite uncle and they got to negotiate the price of the bride, how much she costs. And so they'll throw out a number because, and they will also say, if she's well educated, you are going to pay more. So she's, you know, college age or, you know, and college graduate. Well, Parker, the gentleman there says to me, says, Dorian, the family wants 13 cattle for Sonia. I said, so the day comes where they got to negotiate. He takes his uncle. He has uncle. He says, when I get to the house, he says, I have to stand outside the house. He says, if I go through that gate, it might cost me more cattle because that'll show how arrogant I am. You know? So he stood there. They made him wait for 2 hours, by the way. They knew he was out there. When he comes into the house, he says, I had to sit on the floor because if I sat on a seat and they'd invite me to sit on a seat, that might cost more. So they throw out 13 head of cattle. Now it's $800 a head. I mean, that's some serious bucks for this guy. He's already been working and saving. He spent 2 years saving for this, you know? And so he says to me, I whispered to my uncle. My uncle says, ah, the young man, you know, he loves your daughter so much, but he can't afford that kind of, he said, you know, he could afford 10 cattle, you know. Grandmother comes out of the room. It's the bride's grandmother. She comes out of the back room and she says to the family, she says, he is a fine Christian young man. He's a hard worker. Give him a discount. Grandmother, I said, you better stay close to grandmother. I'm telling you, you better stay close to grandmother. I want you to see how they sit at a wedding. Everybody has to see the bride come in. It's very special, you know. You stand, and so it's not just getting up to, for the whole time, you got to watch that bride come in, you know, and that's kind of special. So we've got our new works, our containers, and this is some of the things that you have been a part of. That's our son who heads it up now. Somebody said, Dorian, as you get older, you know, what's going to happen? And I said, well, the Lord will take care. Well, I've got our older son. He is taking care of the dad project, which is, and that's his son that is helping to move stuff. And that's a container that we just sent, our 36th container. That's my oldest grandson to the far right of the screen. He's just 14, and he's been 4 times to Africa already. And he's the one that told me, he says, granddaddy, because maybe his words aren't quite chosen right yet, but he says, when you and Granddad die, don't worry about Partners for Africa. We'll continue it. And I said, don't rush me. But we are glad, you know, they have that attitude. I'm going a little slow here. Okay, good. So that's our 36th container that's arriving in Zambia. Thanks. Just move it for me. I'll just say next, and if you'll move it for me, it'll be great. Thanks. So this is unloading. Look how those women are carrying their boxes. You see that? I was carrying 2 boxes unloading it. This lady had 3 boxes on her head and carrying 2 boxes. Talk about embarrassing, you know. Next. So we had a church in North Georgia. They heard about all the agriculture that we are doing. And 2 weeks later, they called me. They said, Dark. They said, one of the farmers here is going to donate you John Deere tractor. So when we got that, we were called Healing Hands in Nashville, you know, wonderful church organization that helps us ship all our containers. And they said, Dorian, we've got a tractor here that is in Uganda. So we've got 2 tractors. I spoke at West Iceberg, Tennessee the very next Sunday. And a guy came up to me and said, if you got your tractors, well, I'm going to provide you a plow, a disc, and a seed planter. So it's just amazing how God just steps up and helps us. So we ship in a container with all that stuff on it. Next. This is our family. This is my son and his family that are heading up the ACT project. Next. This is my daughter and her family, and that's Tristan and the 2 boys that help us in our work. And she has just done a brand new website for us. So take a look at it, partnersforafrica.com. Next slide. This is a special slide because we were given 10,000 volumes by Apologetics Press. And they said to me, they said, Dorian, can you use these books on creation written for high school students? And I said, we can get them into public schools in Southern Africa. And this is the Ministry of Education in Zambia, who before they accepted the book said, I have to wait because the television station is coming to film the distribution. And it was on national television in Zambia that the Churches of Christ have given these books for the public schools, all from Apologetics Press. So you talk about inroads. Next slide. This is our mom project. We still feed around 1,200 children in 4 countries. Next. This is some of the stuff we send home. Did you see that? Look at that green bar. I want you to notice that. That's, that is, uh, That is soap that we send home. That soap is used to wash their clothes, wash their dishes, and wash their bodies. And so it's utilized. Next. So our well program has taken off. We go to villages where they got no water. We go to villages where they've attempted to dig their own wells and it's open. At this particular well, 5 children already fallen in and died. And so we took care of that as soon as we heard about it immediately. Next. We closed that well up and we provided them good clean water. We've done 70 wells. Our goal was 50 wells in 10 years. We've done 70 wells in 10 and a half years. And as you can see, the tremendous good. You know what's so awesome about a well? A well provides long-term evangelism opportunities. Because you sit there, it sits there by where we've planted a church, and every day people come get water. Next slide. Life expectancy is extended. Do you know that you drill a well and you send girls back to school? Because you know who goes and gets water? It's young girls, high school girls, and it takes 3 to 5 hours a day to go get water, and that means they don't get to go to school and they don't get their education. And when we plant a well there, we send hundreds of girls to school immediately, and we are thankful for that. And that's besides the outreach and everything. Next slide. This was in memory. You know, we've had several wells. This was in memory of a teenage girl who got severe leukemia, and she died at 19. And I did a funeral, and her mother and father wanted to do a well in her honor. And I'm just showing this to you because it means so much to the parents, because it's 2 years old, the well, and we've already had 39 baptisms from the specific well. Next. That's my grandson, and of course I guess I'm a little partial, Next. Next. This is just some wells that we have done in people's honor. Next. So I want to show you. You drill a well, girls can go to school, life is extended, organic vegetables, but people also, we don't raise money for buildings, for church buildings. We don't raise money for preachers. But we will do a well because we believe that's the fishing rod. And this one church, once they got their water, they made this oven and then they made their own bricks. Next slide. And that's their building. But all we did was provide them the pump and they built their building. Next. So this was our last water project, currently. And this is Chavera Orphanage, over 100 orphans that did not have any clean water whatsoever. And so we did this water project. This was actually an $18,000 water project. Next. And so you see their clothes dryer in the back, background, that good old fence. Next slide. Next slide. And so we have our clinic, and I just want you to know that we've been ranked number one 2 consecutive years. What's interesting is that we opened it up in 2016. So it's made quite an impact in rural Zimbabwe. Next. So 96 babies born. I might have mentioned this to you, or maybe not, but I said to the nurse, I said, 96 babies? She said, "Oh, Brother Flynn, this is a fertile area." I think so, you know. 5,500, of course, have been immunized already. And so we saved that boy from a snake bite. I mean, he was bitten by a snake and he would have died. But he's come back for a checkup and his father's so happy. The villagers just came out, you know. So the clinic is just another tool to share Jesus Christ, because the impact we make on the community. Next. So there's my wife, Sherry. She couldn't be here, but I do want you to know these are all new mothers that are coming to get their babies checked. And we had a mother there to obey the gospel there that day as well. But we are so thankful that we can get right into the lives of these people. Next. And that's one of the houses that they live in. What I love about our nurse, we have 7 nurses, and she, Sister Nlobu, she goes and see these mothers in the village areas. Most of them can't walk not most of them, a lot of them can't walk with their babies. It's such a distance all the time for every checkup. So she tries to make some checkups. And so she's got a little scooter because there's no roads. And she's got a first aid kit on the back. And she just goes through those paths, you know, through the bush. She's quite amazing. Next. So this is the final thing I want to share with you this morning. So now we're embarking on Amazon Christian Academy. And as you know the story, we were given, we drilled a well. It all started with a well, a water well. We drilled a well, and the village leaders, when they come and we open a well, we preach the gospel at that opening because everybody's there, government leaders, village leaders, chiefs. And so after that, they said, we don't have any medical resource. There's 15 villages, 20,000 people. And so we built the clinic. They said, you need to give us land. No, lease us land. Give us land. And they gave us 4 acres. So now I went and visiting I'm visiting the primary schools in the area. They have no high school. I found out. I go to the primary school. I asked them, they have no high school. I said, Churches of Christ could build a Christian high school. I said, but you got to give us land. And I asked for 25 acres. I thought I was being old. 25 acres, and they came back and they said to me, they said, this was 2 weeks later, they came to me and they said, Mr. Flynn, there's a piece of land next to the clinic that we don't want to break up. Would you take that? It's 70 acres. So I said, okay. So they've given us 70 acres, and they said, once we finish the freshman classroom wing, so they're going to give us another 50 acres. And so I think eventually we will have a 200-acre campus, which is just tremendous for the Churches of Christ because this school will have over 1,000 students. And it doesn't end there, by the way. Next slide. That's our campus starting. So we've already started on some of the buildings already. But I do want to just throw this out to you. And this might be, I know that you all help us once a year. And I appreciate that so much, that gift that you give us, because I just want you to know where it's going. We have a classroom wing, a freshman. We opened the school January 2020. Classroom wing right now. And I just want you to know that it costs $70,000. And we have one person that has stepped up to the plate and said, I'll provide half if you can get the other half. And so we are asking for 7 individuals, congregations, entities to provide us with $5,000. And you help us pretty close to that every year. So I just want you to know where we want that to go when you help us with that. Next slide. This is our campus. Number one is our auditorium, and it will seat over 1,000. Number two is our classrooms. There's 3 rows there, and the first row is the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Number 3 there you see is our labs, both science and computer labs. Number 4, because we are going to do a low technical side as well, will be woodwork, will be metalwork, will be agriculture, and all of that there as well. Okay, our high school is going to go on 2 tracks, academic track and the other as well. What we want to do is when the freshmen in 2020, when the freshmen begin, by the time they graduate, we want them, next slide, we want them to move into Amazon Christian University. That's what we are planning to build because we want to keep the talented students in Africa in Africa. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, I just want you to know that we would not build a high school. And we would not build a clinic, and we will not build a university unless it can be sustained in Africa. So I'm asking for help to help us get this, as I travel in the United States, to get all this constructed. But after that, I'm basically going to say, then leave us alone. Because while this is all happening, we are working on 4 income streams, 2 of which is, one is agriculture, and the other is livestock, because that's the economy there. Here is 1,500 tomato plants that were, well, this is not the picture. The first picture, the first thing we did was plant 1,500 tomato plants just to see how they would do. This is 4. And we gross 30,000 US, and we are already paying for our clinic. You get from the government, because you build a rural clinic, they provide the nurses. You get World Vision that provides the medicine, and $1,100 a month to run between $1,100 and $1,300. We're already paying for the clinic just from the tomatoes. Then, next slide. Then we got corn, next slide. Then we've got cabbage, next slide. Then we got, well, that's cabbage also, but we've got watermelon coming too. But you see everything's drip irrigation. You got a, it's an Israeli drip irrigation. It's got a big blue tank. You pull the water comes in there and the fertilizer, and it goes down those hoses, and at every plant there's a hole that comes out of that tube, and every plant gets the nutrition it needs and the water it needs. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing system. And so with that, we're already up to over 100 head of cattle. We want to get to 500 head as well. Next. And this is it. Then we're going to build Amazon Christian University. If we can provide our youth in Africa an opportunity to get their education and then be able to place them in some of the economy that we will develop, and in other places, they will stay there and the church will grow. You know, people in Africa, there's plenty poor. But how do you help and contribute within a certain area, a middle class? And that's what we're looking towards. And so you are part of something just immense. And I just want to thank you. But let me just close with this. One of my favorite stories is Joshua. And it's Joshua and Rahab. And let me just tell you one reason it is one of my favorite stories is because Joshua, it seems like when you read his life, made all those choices, those right choices, you know, right from the beginning, you know, and crossed the Jordan and took down Jericho and then get to the end of his life as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, he was just that model person, it seems like. Not that he was perfect, but he made choices. But in that city, there was this woman that believed in the Israeli juggernaut that was coming. And she was willing to do whatever those spies said, those Israeli spies that came into the city and said, this city's going down. And she believed them. But she was a woman that had made a lot of wrong choices. She was a prostitute. She was and yet if you follow her life, Jesus, she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. So what's the point? That our God that we share to this lost and dying world is a God that has arms big enough for everybody. I don't care how bad you've blown it. His arms are open to accept you. If you will come and if you will surrender and if you will be willing to take up that cross and follow that through the waters of baptism, rise to that newness of life. We extend that invitation now as we do every day. Won't you come as we stand and sing?